What is going on, guys? It is Steve Oatley, the headache music again, as Craig says. It is Steve Oatley with Freight Broker Live, coming live from a different room in my house. I took over the guest room. Why? Because I needed it to be quiet inside when I make my videos, and I didn't like making them at 8 o'clock every day. So I figured I will move the guest room out and take over the space. So that's what I did. If anyone doesn't know, my name is Steve Oatley. I host this daily show. Normally it's at 2 o'clock. Over the past 2 weeks, it was at 8 o'clock, but now we're back to 2 o'clock. And I talk about freight. I'm an actual freight broker. I broker freight every day, you know, not so much anymore, but I talk about freight every day. I talk about the trends. I talk about the industry. Today, as you guys know, on Tuesday, I put out my State of Trucking weekly infographic and article. So today I'm going to be putting that out. I'm just waiting on one other crucial part. But in putting that together, I saw the rates. I saw different trends. I saw different things that I didn't necessarily like. So we're going to talk about what you guys are seeing out there on the road. We're going to talk about some of the strikes and shutdowns and layoffs and the things that are current in the news and the things that we cover. As much as we hate to, we still cover it. The only thing I ask is, if you guys are watching this on Facebook, please go ahead and share it out to other groups. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit that like button, whatever. But please share it out on Facebook, because I think it prompted something and saying Facebook was having some issues. And Facebook on my chat is not showing up at all. I see it's live on Facebook, so whatever. We'll continue. If any of you guys didn't know, I run this little website called FreightBrokerLive.com, which is right here. As you can see, if you haven't been to this in the past couple of days, I switched around the website completely. I have a new template on there. It runs a lot smoother. It's able to handle the massive amount of traffic that my website is now getting because of the awesome stories I break and stuff. So check it out. It still needs a couple of things. You'll notice I have a new tab here, Bookkeeping It Simple. That is Shannon. She's going to be writing. She's also a bookkeeper for trucking and transportation. She's going to be writing about the financial sector. You probably have seen some of the articles she's written. We put out a couple of articles on the SBA loans, which I'm going to talk about later in the show. But first, I just want to get talking about rates. And I'm curious to see what you guys see, because as a freight broker, I've realized, I don't know if it's just because of some of the freight we've been moving, there's been a need for it, so the customer's willing to pay a little bit more. Also, because I'm a volume guy and I do transparency with my rates, meaning I share my rates with the customer, so the customer knows exactly what the carrier is paying. We've inflated that. You know, he's called a couple of times at like 11 p.m. and said, hey, I need freight moved right away. And I'm like, okay, but it's going to be a premium because it's late at night and you're bugging us. And he's been, you know, pretty good. So we've actually made decent money in the past week in terms of our office. It's been slow. I've noticed the different trends and the different freight, you know, rates and lanes that they're not looking good. You know, the DAT trend lines are down for load to truck volumes for all modes, van and flatbed. I don't know if you guys saw this. Let me throw this up here. Let me find a screen. The DAT trend lines. This is the resource all of you guys should be using. It's a free one and you can access it every day. And I'll throw it up on my website here. So you can see this is just a regular DAT website. DAT spot load posts are down 25% from last week. So they're still up from last year, but they're down quite a bit. Van load to truck volumes are down quite a bit. Spot rates are still up because we have a lot of that essential freight going. Flatbed, any of you flatbed carriers out here, you guys are probably feeling it right now. Down 33% from last week. Flatbed spot rates are also down 0.9%. And reefer, remember reefer last week took a huge jump. Now reefer is down. It's the spot rates didn't decrease or didn't increase from last week, but the load to truck has dramatically decreased 36%. I saw on a FreightWaves show, they said a lot. What did they say? I think they said 40% of shippers, or 40% in manufacturing, 40% of businesses are closed right now. So the only people that are actually out hauling stuff are hauling food. They're hauling the essential stuff. A lot of states, we got 30 states that have shut down non-essential business. So that's pretty important to realize that it's going to get worse. And this is the, I said it was going to get worse last week when I made the shows and even the week before, but looking at this stuff, looking at some of the other rates and some of the other tools that I have, kind of to forecast what's going on, and some of the tools aren't out yet. Tomorrow I'll be doing a show that will talk about one of the new tools that's out, but it's a little sketchy, to be honest. It's a little sketchy because everyone talks about this freight cliff. Everyone's been talking about it. Every single media outlet's talked about it, except me, really. I just talk about it in the show. But I think about it. You have 3.3 million people filed for unemployment last week. You know, ever since the stimulus, you know, people are just not showing up to work because they're going to get a stimulus check. So they don't care about having to work. People are opting to take unemployment instead of having to work. It just shows the work ethic that a lot of people have. And how about these strikes? Because we have Amazon, some workers in, I think it was Queens or some workers in New York yesterday walked off and went on strike. In one of the news reports I heard today, that the manager, and I can only assume it's the manager that was there. There was a video. I don't remember if I shared it, but there was a video. Actually, I did. It was in the article I wrote yesterday about the strikes there. But there was a manager that had his face all covered, and he's protesting and all that stuff. And I don't know if he's a manager, but one manager was fired because he was on quarantine. He said basically he felt like he had connections with, you know, he connected at some point with someone that had the coronavirus. So he was on quarantine, took the time off, and then went to the protest. So they fired that guy. And 100 people walked out. And I'm not discrediting what they walked out for. I get that. They're trying to say Amazon has to protect their employees. But then what's the new one? Whole Foods. Again, Whole Foods is owned by Amazon. But they're doing a sick call-in strike, whatever. They're not like going on strike like Amazon and Instacart did. By the way, Instacart went on strike yesterday. If you guys don't know who it is, apparently hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people had no idea what Instacart was anyway. So when they saw all the news and they saw, oh, Instacart, they're gig workers that go out and buy groceries. The people said, oh, crap, I can use an app to get all the stuff and I don't have to go to the store. So even though Instacart was striking yesterday, they had, I think they said, a 34% increase on users on their phone, even though their workers were in a nationwide strike saying they didn't want to do it. They had people that were out of work looking for jobs signed up. People that were at home didn't want to go to the store signed up. So they actually had more users on a day they had a nationwide strike than they ever have before, which is pretty funny to me. But then the Whole Foods guys are doing the same thing, and they're going to call out. But see, some of the things they want, and I'm going to get to where I'm going with this and why these strikes are kind of BS, if you ask me. So the Whole Foods wants double pay for hazard. So they want their pay. If they can make $14 an hour, they want an additional $14 an hour for hazard pay, which is insane. They're not the ones driving the trucks. You know, they have limited protection. You know, Whole Foods said, oh, we'll give you hand sanitizer. We'll give you gloves. We'll do whatever we have to. And yet, They're demanding. They're all calling in sick today. I don't know what kind of lasting effect it's going to have. But you know who it does directly affect is trucking and the people that are delivering to these locations where all these boneheads decide to go on strike. Truckers are the ones that are going into service stations and truck stops to get fuel. They're the ones who are driving, you know, trying to find food. We still hear every single day there's people that are like, oh, this restaurant won't serve trucks, you know, or even worse, now they're getting booted. They're parking in parking lots and they're getting booted. I'm going to play a commercial. I don't know who this is. No, I'm not. That is weird. I didn't talk about Walmart, so I don't know why they're calling me. But that's weird. But yeah, it's crazy. You know, the thing is truckers are the ones that are on the front line of this whole thing. So all these little strikes and all these people that are bagging groceries and doing all that stuff, they're all going on strike, but truckers are the ones who are going to suffer the consequences. We're already suffering long wait times and detention times at shippers and receivers. I did see a report, I think it was in fleetowner.com or something like that, where people were saying, oh, that they didn't have long detention times and they're actually getting offloaded and loaded a lot quicker than what they did before. I don't know whether that's true. The only thing I could say is in my experience and the drivers that I talk to every day is not the same. It's drivers are waiting for a long time. They can't use the bathrooms. I heard one report of an Aldi location this morning that I'm going to follow up after the show that basically, because I heard other Aldis are, you know, the truck gets there, security guard, you know, comes out and yells from 6 feet away and says, hey, what's your pickup number? And the trucker's like, blah, blah, blah. And then they get them all loaded and there's no physical contact at all. Well, I got a report this morning of one Aldi distribution center. I believe it was in Ohio. I don't remember. But all the drivers have to go into a little tiny room and wait there until they get their paperwork. If that kind of stuff is going on, drivers, you have to not go in there. Just sit outside and just say, hey, listen, especially if you're in Ohio where they have the social distancing laws anyway. And just don't go in there. Don't subject yourself to that kind of stuff. You know, it's sad. It happens more and more, and we're going to have more and more businesses closed because everyone that doesn't understand how the market works, this is what's going to happen. I talked about it last week, and I know a lot of other people aren't saying it. They're just like, oh, yeah, there's going to be a cliff, and they're not giving the reasons why. So let me try to explain it, why I think there's going to be a cliff. And now this is my personal opinion, and it's kind of common sense, you would think. If you have a group of companies that are going in and or if you have a group of people that are no longer allowed to shop, they can't go into different places. Here in Florida, we're not locked down. The city that I live in, they're trying to lock down the city I live in. But in the whole state, it's not locked down. Like I walked into to buy soap to wash my car and I had to like stand on an X in an auto zone, but and that wouldn't close anyway. It's essential. But there's it. In the states where people aren't locked down, people are still losing jobs. Manufacturing still slowing down. You know, New Jersey's locked people down. I have family and friends that are there that have been laid off because of this issue. There's friends in Pennsylvania that have been laid off and they work in warehouses, but they're not doing essential goods. So the warehouses have closed. They don't have any essential warehouse. That's not what they're producing. So they lose their jobs. And it's just, you know, it's bad. There was a trucking company in Washington that I've heard that they have a regional route, but because they weren't having a lot of inbound outbound, they put their trucks on the spot market because they were hauling dedicated freight that was not exempt. So the warehouse shut down. Their warehousing, their cross-docking terminal had no more freight. So they laid off all 17 people that worked in there and they just kept a dispatcher to keep all those trucks. You know, it's crazy because a lot of people don't understand what's going to happen. People aren't going to have any money to buy anything because everyone's getting laid off. Remember, this coronavirus outbreak was supposed to end, what, last week? I knew something was up as soon as my gym called me last week and said, hey, the state shut us down till May 8th. And I'm like, May 8th? Why so long? And it's every day. Every day, something new is closing. All the gyms in my state are closed. They just arrested a pastor in Florida, in Tampa, the Tampa area, for holding service this past weekend. He held two sermons, or whatever you call them, on Sunday, and they arrested him for you know, mass gathering in a crisis. It's crazy. Wayne Campbell said 85% of the state of Nevada is laid off. I'm 3.3 million people as of Saturday. Do you know how many more people are going to be laid off? More and more. You know that big broker that I talked about laying off people? There's rumors they laid off even more. I'm just done reporting about it. But a lot of people said freight brokers aren't going to be impacted by this. And my phone is like blowing up for some reason today. But freight brokers aren't going to be affected by this. Well, yeah, we will eventually when there's nothing for us to ship. And carriers are already feeling it. The flatbedders out there, I'd be really curious. That call-in line, guys, is active up there somewhere, right there. 914-803-4008. If you're driving a truck, call in. If you're hauling dry van, flatbed, reefer, whatever, I want to know what it's like. So call in. I want to hear your... hear what you're going through. Kevin Donnelly said, my business just took a nosedive. I mean, it's hurting everyone. I talked to someone in the financial sector earlier today, and I said, what are you seeing? Because that's a precursor of what's going to happen. You know, what are you seeing? And he's like, oh, you know, we had a good day, but it's looking bleak. A lot of shippers are starting to be like, oh, what's going to happen? How are we going to pay our invoices if we don't have people paid? And then the government subsidy and whatever it is, the second part portion of the government clause. And I'm going to talk about the SBA loans, and every single one of you that are commenting right now are able to file for this at these SBA loans. So I'll talk about them in a little bit. But there's a lot of people that there's an issue with, I believe it was like phase two of the coronavirus funding and all that stuff, where basically companies are able to get reimbursed for the payroll that they pay. They're able to take out loans, and as long as they prove that they use that money for payroll and kept their employees on, or a certain percentage of their employees on payroll, that they're able to have those loans forgiven. But the problem is you have to front that money out. So if you run a warehouse or you run a factory, I see a call's on hold. I'll pick it up in a second. But if you run a factory and you do all that stuff and you don't, and you're not selling a product, you're not making a product, what are you going to do? A lot of these companies have switched to do other things, but it's these companies don't have the money to front the payroll out. You know, think about it. Payroll is a huge expense. If you don't have employees, then you think, oh, it's only $600 a week. No, employer taxes add a third onto it. And all these different things. And there's all these liabilities that you have as an employer. And it's hard. And it's crazy. We have a caller. So let me pick this one up. What's up? You're on the air.
You said if you're driving a truck, call in. So I'm calling in.
Oh, what? Yeah, you haul a... For anyone who's just listening and doesn't know who this is Tom Hanks, a.k.a. Right Load on YouTube. Yeah, he sounds like Tom Hanks, right, according load to other people. You pull a Conestoga. What are you seeing on the road today?
No, I'm a dry van, man. I'm a food-grade dry van. And unfortunately, I've only been out for one day. I booked this load. I just did a week at home. I booked this load on Thursday. Broker called me. Since it was so far out and it was picking up so far, so close to my house in Timbuktu, nowhere, Colorado, I was willing to do it for $160. I'm not. I am seeing that rates are definitely tightening. So the what they're offering rates at and what the bids are at are there's a huge spread. If right. that makes sense, the same right. thing that's happening in other markets too. I did bid on a convoy load that I didn't accept because, anyway, I bid on a convoy load. It was 500 miles. They were willing to go to $600 on the offer. I bid 1,000 and they took it. I did not accept the load because I wasn't sure I was going to be able to make the pickup. Right. But I wanted to see. I'm just kind of feeling it out.
Right.
So, they're still moving at money, but clearly there's lots of carriers who are willing to move it at a lower rate because that's where the offers are at.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I really think the market's trying to figure out what there's a lot of price discovery happening right now. And fuel is super cheap, man. I just looked at my fuel cost, 30 cents a mile.
Yeah.
You know, so fuel's pretty cheap.
Fuel went down again today. I think it's $1.258. So it went down 7.3 cents from last week. So it's going to keep dropping. When do you get a drive-in? You just get that this week?
No, I've always been drive-in.
What?
I've always been drive-in. It's Right Lane.
Maybe Right Lane.
No, but you said Tom Hanks. You know who you're talking to.
Yeah,
no,
I know.
I've always been drive-in, man.
Oh. I thought you were pulling a Conestoga last week. Well, whatever. But you confused me.
Whatever. Anyway, I mean, let's talk about the cliff for a second. I think the cliff is really, it's obvious. It's absolutely going to happen, right? The trick with economics, ultimately, because this is an economics discussion, ultimately economics is pretty straightforward. Unless you're one of those neo-Keynesian guys trying to do all the math models and then I don't even know what the hell those guys are thinking. But for the most part, if you're just a straight-up Austrian or free-market economist, you look at the macro picture, and you're like, all right, well, obviously there's going to be a cliff. The problem is economics is not finance, right? So, sorry about that. So in finance, it's always about timing. But in economics, it's just about principle. So the principle of, yeah, we're going to, you know, everything's going to hit the fan. But the question is when. Historically speaking, when you see other countries do what we have just started engaging in this, you know, funny money creation, in the beginning, the economy normally does really well.
Right.
But, you know, you're going down a path of no return. It's like the twilight zone of monetary policy. So I wonder if it's not going to get better before it gets worse. Because here's the thing. This is what you're really talking about when you talk about the cliff is you're talking about extra money in the system and less supplies, right? You got a supply shortage and you got extra money chasing less goods. That's really bad. That means prices go up. But if you're a spot market guy, you adjust your prices with it. And we already know that for a long time during last year, trucks were running at
No. Okay. Well, maybe I just heard it wrong, but that's not what a freight cliff is that everyone's talking about. Everyone is talking about there's no more freight. So when the volume goes down, so do the rates because we have an overabundance of capacity on the market. So rates do not come up.
Right. But when
volume decreases, and that's what's happening. If we're working at a 60% volume than what we normally would be running, even in a relatively bad part of the year, that's a huge issue.
I get it. But volume goes down because, well, first of all, the majority of the stuff that's moving around in this country is not produced here. We really don't produce anything for the most part of what we consume. 80% of everything that's consumed in this country is imported. Now, Asia's pretty much back up and running. I know it's slower, but all of the rest of the world is handling the shutdown issue a whole lot better, save Italy, you know, the third world countries in England. And ultimately, we don't get a lot of products from them. We get the majority of our products from Asia, right? Right. So other than food, which we make here, and paper products, which are the two things that we're seeing major supply chain issues with at the local level, you know, and those will come back up. Those will definitely come back up. Here's the other thing. We're going to have a big reduction in capacity once this emergency measures for hours of service goes away. What you're seeing now is what, you know, you're seeing what we saw before ELD mandates on steroids. You know, what's going on right now is pre-ELD on steroids because there's not even logbooks, you know. I'm loving it, man. This running cowboy, I'm absolutely loving it.
Yeah.
So there will be a reduction in capacity when they reduce the hours of service regulation as well. I just don't think we're going to have a supply squeeze as far as production. Ports are back up. Asia's sending out ships. We got container ships arriving. I know we're going to have a cliff.
I hope you're right. I'm about 98% certain you're wrong, but I hope you're right. But as someone that's worked in the market for a long time and someone that pays a lot of attention to you know, the freight market, I'm not talking about stocks and all that shit because that's too much of a variable right now. I'm talking about freight. And I could see what's happening, and I know that a lot of the ports are even working at a reduced capacity, and not just because our imports are down, because people are calling out sick because of the coronavirus. Look at the Teamsters in every single location where the Teamsters are. They are they're steps away from going on strike because of safety violations. UPS are because of perceived safety violations. I read about it because I get all the feeds in that have the word strike as a keyword. UPS is all over the place with the Teamsters saying, hey, listen, we aren't really happy with going out and making these deliveries and not having proper, you know, PPE to protect ourselves. I don't know. I hope what you're saying is right, but it's not. Because if you already look at flatbed and you look at the volumes have decreased dramatically from what they were last week. So while rates maybe okay. You know, I mean, you said you pulled a $160 out of Colorado. That's bad, but it's not. It's not.
Well,
it's not great money either.
At 26 cents, it's not bad at 26 cents a gallon fuel, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things I said when this whole OPEC thing's. Yeah, that's one of the things I said. When fuel comes down anyway, it's going to drive rates down. That's what I said when it first happened before the coronavirus explosion in the United States. But, right, Lane, thanks for calling in. I got another guy that's been on hold for a minute.
Wait, hold one last thing.
Ultimately,
we agree on the end result. What we're differing on is the timing. I don't know when the timing is. I just don't think it's going to be.
I don't think we agree on the end result either. The end result is, excuse the language, anyone, if Susan's listening, cover your ears. The end result right now, I can't even look. Yeah, freight's going to rebound. But the end result is that hundreds of drivers are going to lose their jobs. Brokers are going to have issues moving freight. There's not, the rates are going to tank. It's going to be bad. And I know I'm the super positive person all the time. But I can see from with the inside looking out perspective, we're fucked. Excuse my language. I apologize, but it's not good. No, I'm not gonna.
You're fine, and I know you want to go, but listen, that's all of American industry. That's not just trucking.
I only care about trucking. I don't care about any of the other industries.
Yeah.
This is a trucking show. I care about trucking. I don't care about anything else. I talk about trucking on my show. But
in that regard, the transportation industry will fare better than most, if not all, through this depression that we're looking down the abyss of.
Yeah, probably, but we're still going. People are going to be hurt. People are going to be hurt by it, and that's what pisses me off, and that's what I'm highlighting here. I'm not trying to paint a rosy picture because I get criticized when I do that too. So I'm trying to be, you know, who I am and just be honest. And I think we have some very, very troubling things that are going to happen in the near future. And I'm not, I mean, shit, look how many layoffs we've had nationwide.
Steve,
so, wow.
Come on. Hey, take that other call, will you? For crying out loud.
See ya.
Let's hear what that guy's got.
Oh, boy. Are you there, bud? Hey, you on the air?
Yep.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Oh, man, just enjoying this warm Arizona weather.
I know. I'm in Florida. It's warm here, too.
Man, I tell you what, in 15 years of trucking, the last 2 weeks have been the weirdest. Coming across, I run a dedicated deal. I go from Denver to Phoenix, Arizona here. And hell, coming across New Mexico, it took an hour to get fuel because they're only letting five of you in the truck stop at a time. Can't get no food in New Mexico. You can't get a shower. It's insane, man. Arizona's not so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
you know, they're still cooking out here for us.
Yeah, that's good. It's weird. It's the whole industry. I don't know. It's weird. Right now, what's going on? So what are you pulling? Are you pulling flatbed or dry van stuff?
No, I got a reefer, man, and gotcha. You know, I bring meat out here, and normally I run produce back. Last week, I barely got a load. Produce completely just tanked, dude. I'm looking for a load now. I'm going to actually bounce into California to try and grab something, man, because there's only 68 loads on the load board right now
right.
in Arizona, and most of them are partials. I've got a W900, you know. I mean, I get 6 miles to the gallon, but... I've got to do something better than $1,500 load. It just doesn't work for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I break even at $205 a mile.
Jeez.
I can't go any less than that.
Yeah. Wow. That's a high operating cost.
Well, that's just mine. That's just personal.
It
keeps the doors open and keeps me comfortable. You know, everybody sets their own. Mine is $205 a mile or I'm not happy.
Right. Right. No, I get that. And it's like I always say, because I've made too many shows about calculating your break-even rate, including driver pay and all that stuff. The national average is $1.84, and that's for fleet. So you got to figure one truck is going to have a high operating cost, or $1.82, sorry, according to Attrey. If the other one, the TCA, they say it's like $1.54, but, you know, including driver pay and profit and stuff. That's not technically driver pay. Yes. But if you include profit and, you know, keeping you happy, like you said, it's not technically a break even, but I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. And part of the, I actually just read an article right before the show that talked about the fact that a lot of these, the produce market's going to be suffering because they shut down the border. So the people, the migrant workers that would come up to work in these fields and do that, they're not able to come up. And a lot of the produce or a lot of the, you know, farms are really feeling it. There was, you know, it, like I said in the article, I don't remember what outlet published it, but it was talking about how farmers literally have produce rotting because they have no way to pull it, which is crazy because we have 3.3 million people that are unemployed, but they're just happy to get a check. So they're not going to go and actually work in a field and do stuff, but it's rough. I don't see, I don't see eventually, freight rates are going to come up when this thing goes away. And if it comes around for a second turn, like they're saying it may be doing in China, then we'll just have to wait for it to be done. But I don't think I think for the immediate time where hopefully everyone has some money saved and hopefully everyone files for those SBA loans and does all that stuff. Because I think right now I don't have a very optimistic view on what the immediate future is going to hold for the transportation industry. But thanks for calling in, bud.
You know what? I wasn't nervous until this week. This week, really, you know, I watched the board last week. We had a truck that in 8 days made 14 grand. I mean, that's a good week. Right. That's a good 8 day run, you know, and shit's just not moving this week, man. It's got me nervous.
Yeah. It's got a lot of us nervous, to be honest. Like I said, even last week, and I don't move any essential freight at all through my brokerage, but last week we had a pretty good week and it wasn't, it wasn't nothing to like call home about. So in a couple of loads, we paid on one load, one pallet, we paid the carrier $281 a mile for one pallet. And we made, I think, $300, $400 on the load, which equates to like a 20 or 30% profit margin. Could we have paid the carrier more? Yeah, but it was one pallet and non-exclusive. So we're not going to, you know what I mean? Like, We got lucky because it was stuff that had to move, but it wasn't considered essential freight or anything. So I don't know. But like my big customer, my mega customer, I guess, he's still working, but a lot of these places are closed because the shippers and receivers are not considered essential. They're trying to stay open right now, and a couple of them have fought it in the States, but they're not essential. So they're going to essentially either be forced to close or they're going to have to close on their own, and they're going to dry up too. And it's going to cause a lot of problems that these little stimulus checks they're sending out are not going to cover. So I don't know. It's interesting, but thanks for calling in, man. Drive safe.
Yep. Appreciate it. Bye.
Bye. All right. We got another caller. What's up? You're on the air. Hey, what's up? Hey, you're on the air. Yeah.
Hey, my name is Mahir. I drive a reefer. I just picked up a load from Modesto, California to San Antonio for $2,800.
Yeah.
And that was, the only load that the load would at the time. So I only do California to Texas, stay on I-10.
Right.
So this is what I got. And I heard you talking about SBA loans. I'm a lease owner operator. So yeah. Would you think this would be a option for lease owner operators?
Yes.
Who don't have any business credit or something? Because I heard for SBA loans, they ask for 3 years of tax returns and bank statements. And you must have a business credit in order to apply for them.
Yeah. These are not standard, but there's a lot of feedback, but I'll answer your question. I'm going to hang up right now, but there's a lot of, just listen, I'll answer it. So with the SBA loans, there's a lot of feedback on that call. With the SBA loans, from what I understand, and I'm not a certified financial planner, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not anybody. If you want to talk to one, go to my website, freightbrokerlive.com, which is not that page. It's this page right here. And you can click right here on Bookkeeping It Simple. She knows a lot and she'll help you. But from what I understand and going through the application myself yesterday to see what it entitled, if you're at least on to somebody and you're a sole proprietor, you still are a company. You are still going to suffer. These are not standard SBA loans. These are disaster loans. So these are loans that basically, from what I saw in the application yesterday, they ask what your income was in 2019, the previous 12 months. So, you know, from whatever it was, January 31st to January 31st of this year. They asked what your income was in that period. I thought originally that they were going to be asking what your forecasted losses were going to be during that time. They did not. They just basically said, hey, how much did you make last year? And what do you, like, how much of that was profit versus expense? So they want to, and you file taxes, I'm guessing, and they're going to verify it that way. But as I read it, that they're going to basically use an automated system to tell, to pre-qualify people essentially for it. I don't know the full procedure of doing anything beyond just messing around what I did yesterday. That's why you need to get with a finance person. But if you lease onto a company, you're an independent agent, say your name is Joe Blow and you're an agent for Landstar. You run a company. You know, it's Joe Blow's brokerage, agent for Landstar. You run a company. If you feel that you're going to, if you feel like you're going to have losses, file for an SBA loan. It doesn't make sense, because what happens? You're denied. It doesn't make sense not to do it. It's a disaster loan. The money has been allocated for people that are going to be affected by it. Every single trucker is going to be affected by this. I know some people have a really rosy picture. I was one of those guys a couple of weeks ago. Do I still think when this all comes back that people are going to make a bunch of money? Yeah. Am I still entertaining the possibility about buying a truck? Yes. But the only problem is I'm not going to put it on the road right now. I'll wait till this flips over and then there's money to be made, because there will be when this finally ends. But the fact is that this is ending quite a bit longer than anyone thought. And it's a little concerning. But everybody out there, whether you're a broker, whether you're a carrier, whether you're an independent owner operator leased onto somebody else or a broker agent, you should all file for the SBA disaster loan. There's an article on my website, which if you click on the Bookkeeping It Simple, let me show you. If you click on the Bookkeeping It Simple tab on my page, it'll go through her little intro and then this first article right here. So freightbrokerlive.com. Click on Bookkeeping It Simple, and then click on this. This has the full instructions on how to do it. Just apply. Because worst case, you're denied, but the application, even though it says it takes 2 hours and 8 minutes, it literally is like a 5-minute application. And don't ballpark it. Use what you made last year versus what your expenses were, because that's where they're going to figure out how much money you stand to lose during this time period. And it's interesting that a lot of people don't think that it applies. And I think state level, they have different ones. If you have employees, there's the payday ones, which I don't know anything about, the payday loan guarantees where they forgive the loan. This is not one where they forgive the loan. This is a loan from the government that you have to repay. But it's to keep you out of, you know, well, not really. It's to try to assist with financial issues that you may have. But hopefully I answered your question. So the answer is yes. You should definitely 100% file for an SBA loan, and because it doesn't hurt. You know, it doesn't hurt. Isaac Marcotte on Facebook said, what are my thoughts on the load board trucker stop? Well, I've never heard of that load board. I've heard of truck stop, and that is my sponsor for the month of April, so I'm not going to be talking about truck stop. But if you like Trucker's Edge, you should sign up, because you know, it's a load board I prefer, and I like them a lot. Dan Carl on Facebook said, I disagree. Inventory on hand creates a spike in freight movement once this all is said and done. Rates will go up, and everyone will think we're back in 2018, and then they will drop. It's not right after this. No, rates are going to drop now, because we're not going to. They already are. Rates are up now, but I'm not even talking about rates dropping. I'm talking about there's going to be no volume, so we're going to have an abundance of capacity. What happens? Here's the thing. When I'm a broker, okay? So when I post a load out on a load board,
even before I post a loadout, very first thing I do in my quoting is I log in to the load board and I say, okay, let me see how many trucks are in this area versus how many loads. That's why the load to truck values that they show on the DAT load board or on the DAT trend lines, this is very important because this is one of the factors that go into it. If there's a very low ratio of load to truck, so say it's 1-to-1, then I know I have to be extremely competitive with my rate, i.e. the rate comes up. If I look and there's not as much freight shipping, but we have an overabundance of capacity, which means that for every two loads that are moving, we have 300 trucks sitting in the metro area. Guess what I do? The rate comes down. And that's what's going to end up happening because freight, I know you said inventory on hand creates a spike in freight movement, but the fact is we don't have a lot of essential inventory on hand. That's why we're experiencing dramatic delays at Kroger places, at meatpacking, at paper manufacturers, because they don't have, I mean, it just like some said, they were waiting on labels at one location. That's it. They already had their product sitting there. They couldn't send it out because they didn't have labels on it. I don't even remember what show that was on. It was probably a FreightWave show. But this is something that's very important because as more and more companies are forced to either shut down because the coronavirus outbreak is caused the state to panic and then the state shuts down everything. Here's a good one. There's a speech by the governor here in Florida who basically said, I can't close the companies. I can't close the state down. All these other states did these stay-at-home orders, closing all essential businesses. The governor of Florida said, hey, I can't do it. Why? Because we have a county that may only have one confirmed case. And yes, they may have an increased confirmed or case load later. But right now they only have one and they have a company in there that employs a whole pile of people. If I shut it down so that company has to shut down, all these people no longer have a source of income coming in. Now, I know the phase two part of the CARES Act or whatever the hell it's called is supposed to account for the lack of income to have it so employers can pay their employees. But the fact is it doesn't help you. It doesn't help an employer right now. For example, if I owned a manufacturing plant right now and I didn't have the money saved to pay my employees because I wasn't selling any product, what do? You lay off your employees. All the employees are going to go to the unemployment marketplace, which in some cases now they're making more than what they were making as employees. And now all the Uber drivers and all those people can get unemployment as well, which is whatever. It is what it is. But it doesn't look good for me. You know, it looks fine for me because I'm media and I have other, and I save money and I have, you know, income but yeah, it's not good. David Forshee said, I think riots are coming. How long can you go without a paycheck? We need money ASAP, 2 or 3 weeks to get a stimulus check. You're right. We're effed one day. I don't know about riots or anything like that. I mean, there's boredom because right next to my house, so that way, well, it's actually that way because the window's there, but that way, so there's another house behind me and then there's a big wooden lot. This is what kids do when they have no school. They go into those big wooden lots, and even though Florida's been in a drought now for 5 or 6 weeks, they set a fire in the darn wooden lot, and I have to go and play firefighter waiting for the fire department to get here to put out a fire that could have literally caught our whole block on fire. Kids are waiting. We have an increase of car burglaries here in our area now. And granted, we had quite a few of them before, but now they're seeing them every single night. They're catching people on cameras going by cars. It's that kind of stuff is going to increase. Do I think riots are coming? No, because we have police and we've seen it in other, I think Mexico, they were rioting as soon as they started shutting down. They were just walking into food stores and stealing shit. That I don't think will happen here. Hopefully not. I mean, who really knows? I didn't think coronavirus is going to be this big, you know, but it's crazy. James I saw your video earlier, bud. You're the reason why I started talking about this. But you said, why is no one talking about when drivers start catching this virus? Drivers already have this virus. That's the problem, is nobody knows. Because drivers are being essentially excommunicated from everything. Think about it. drivers, when they go to a shipper now, they're checking in via phone. They're using electronic PODs and check-in mechanisms. No one is talking to the drivers. So drivers already have this. You know, there was just a news article yesterday. It's the first truck driver with coronavirus was found. No, that wasn't the first truck driver. The first truck driver was 3 weeks ago that tested positive in New York and drove all the way to Idaho after testing positive, drove a load all the way to Idaho, you know, on 80, stopping and buying fuel, stopping, eating food, touching shit while he's got the coronavirus and knew he had it. And then he gets to Ohio and he has respiratory issues and has to be hospitalized. That was the first trucker that I've heard, but truckers already have it. There's no way they couldn't. Look at the spread in the United States. Look how many we have, 176,000 with 3,400 deaths. It's already here. Truckers already have it. The problem is nobody's going to know because truck drivers are not sissies. They're not going to say, oh, well, I think I got the coronavirus. I got to go home. I can't make any money. Truckers have to sit and work. You know, they have the trucks. They have, I think there's a different sense of principle between being a truck insured. Do you have lazy truck drivers? Yeah, just like you have lazy brokers and lazy people in general. But I think you can't be a soft truck driver. I just don't think it's possible. I think truck drivers are they'll keep going. I mean, I talked to one guy, you know, that he tested that are negative. So he didn't have the coronavirus, but he had a severe respiratory issue. And I talked to him and he's like, well, I just got to make my delivery. And I said, no, you got to go to the hospital. Make sure you don't have the coronavirus. It's like, well, I'll go after I make my stop. He's like, I've had a real tightness in my chest. I'm an EMT, so I'm still licensed as an EMT. Call that what you will. I have a little bit of medical experience, got kids with asthma. I grew up with asthma. When someone talks about having really bad chest tightness and issues breathing, you don't wait. You go to the damn hospital, especially when we have the coronavirus going around. And he finally was able to find a place that would test him after days and days. And then after days and days of looking for tests, he found a place that tested him. And then he found out he didn't have it. But to answer your question, James, no one's talking about it when drivers start catching the virus because nobody's going to know. Drivers are driving and driving and driving. And plus, you don't want the panic or the communities to think about that. Think about it. Truckers, they go in and out. People probably already think truck drivers have it. And that's why they have these big social distancing, you know, issues. But there's been, you know, at warehouses, people have tested positive. Truck stops, they've tested positive. Fleet mechanics have tested positive. All these different people have tested positive. There's probably hundreds and hundreds of truck drivers right now that have it. Silas Gomez said, any idea on the interest rate of these loans? No idea. They're supposed to be low, low interest rates. Matt Ball said, Joe Blow definitely works for Landstar. You're funny. Hector Padella on Facebook said, I share the sentiment. Last 2 weeks were good, but nothing to root about. It definitely was not 2018. I know, and everyone said that. Rates were through the roof. I saw a bunch of other media reporting that they're like, oh, you know, rates are through the roof. Tender rejections, crazy. Freight rates, all-time high. But the rates were not actually that good. There were select markets where you were able to get maybe 30 cents more than market or 30 cents more than what your market was. But it didn't dramatically increase. You know, every now and then you're going to find one guy that makes a bunch, but it doesn't work that way. I didn't see... a lot of increases in rates. Christopher Allgood said, I wish the rain would go away. Okay. Robert Terrell said, is it true that Florida shut down the state line entrance points? No, they didn't. So what they did is they basically, because you know how we have environmental inspection stations coming into Florida and exiting Florida. So from what I understand, it wasn't even weigh stations. What they did is they told all four-wheelers, all non-commercial vehicles, they have to stay in the right lane when you go through. They have two lanes. You go through, and all the cars are getting stopped, temperature checks, or, you know, inventorying where they're coming from. If they're New York, they got to quarantine 14 days. They're taking all their information to make sure they actually quarantine. Trucks are continuing on. Here's the catch, because there's a whole pile of people online that are saying, oh, weigh stations in Florida are closed. No, they're not. they're still open. It's just those border checking facilities that are having commercial trucks go to the left lane and continue on through them. Why? because they don't want it bottlenecking like it did on Sunday when they first started it. So to answer your question, Robert Terrell, no, the state line entrance points are not shut down. And to be honest, they're not shut down anywhere from what I understand. Rhode Island has which is crazy. I tweeted about this weekend. Rhode Island has basically started pulling over non-commercial vehicles, personal vehicles with Rhode Island or with New York plates and giving them a mandatory quarantine for 14 days. To top that off, on Monday, they started going door to door with National Guard in Rhode Island. If you have New York plates or you're from New York, you were told you have to mandatorily quarantine in your house. Texas has something similar where they said anyone that's from Louisiana that crosses over, you come through the state, a highway that crosses the state line or whatever, you're going to meet a cop. He's going to say, hey, listen, you're screwed. But he's going to say you have to do a mandatory quarantine. Silas Gomes said drove the Florida state line Sunday. All trucks was passing and all cars was going to the scale house. Yeah, there's a lot of misconception. It said like, oh, you know, cars were going to the scales and trucks don't have to go to scales. It's not true. You're still going through the scales. Just those first ones on I-10, on 95, whatever, 85, those ones you're not. They're agricultural inspections or the first way station. I don't know which one it is, but they're pulling in personal vehicles and trucks are continuing on. But I know 100% the way station that's open just south of me, about 20 miles, is open and it never closes. And it's still open because I checked before I made the video. Because everyone's like, oh, it's closing down. It's not. Call in lines active, 914-803-4008. Call in. Tell me about what you're seeing on the road and all that stuff. Dan Carl said, do I think there is a correlation between the relaxation of HOS and nuclear verdicts? I'm guessing you're saying instead of verticals. No, I don't. I think it has nothing to do with nuclear verdicts. It's only going to help them too, in all reality. Because think about it. If they release the hours of someone and the person, it's going to hurt the industry. That's why, because like anyone, if you've just watched this for the first time, last week or the week before, I got really animated because I didn't feel like there was a trade organization that supports truckers and brokers that think like me and shippers that think like me and people that have the same kind of like focus that I do, even though this show isn't a great representation of it. There's no association that did that, so I created my own. That's one of the things that I'm going to look at when this is all said and done. I'm going to pull, CSA records and all this and accident records for this time period and see, are we having an increase on accidents from drivers that were hauling exempt, where they were exempted from hours of service? It's crazy. But I just put out an article this morning. The FMCSA also just said, hey, if you're a CDL permit holder, and your training, your trainer no longer has to be in the passenger seat. Now they could be sleeping in the back. They just got to be in the truck, but they no longer have to be in the passenger seat. So my question with that, and I put it on my website and then said, give a comment if you have a comment, but everyone did it on social media instead, which is fine. But what does that mean? Do you think those student drivers will still be getting student pay? Or do you think they'll get full truckload pay or regular driver pay? I already know the answer to that, but I'm curious about insurance companies. And they put that through June. So you want to talk about time frames. The FMCSA, which is a branch of the government, whatever you want to call it, department of the government, they have extended basically saying commercial drivers or commercial driver permit holders are now able to drive a truck while the co-driver, the trainer, is sleeping in the back. They don't even need to go to a training school. The only thing they need to do is do a driving test to prove and have a medical card to prove that they could drive the truck and they're medically fit to do it. But they don't have to go to a school and take a written test or anything for the time being, because now they have a three-month exemption, 90-day exemption till June 3rd, I think it was. It is absolutely insane. And then you have trade groups that are out there saying that, oh, you know what would make it better? If we just make it so everyone could carry firearms. Do I disagree with that? No, I'm a card member holding NRA. I got more guns than most of you guys. But pick your battles. That's not something to fight about. They actually had something that was pretty good. And is it going to go anywhere? No. And I'm talking about the SBTC, because the SBTC put something out today or yesterday, whenever they put it out. And I actually like it, kind of agree with it, to be honest. And I didn't read the article, or I didn't read the actual full email, because it's hard to decipher the intense amounts of BS that are in every letter that's written by this guy. But the principal was right, because they're saying, listen, now in a time where freight is going to be hard to find, it's going to be scarce, you know, because freight volumes are decreasing, load to truck volumes are decreasing. The people that are hauling this exempt freight have a really unfair competitive advantage now, because they can also run without logs. Think about it. They can run no logs. So they're able to cover more miles. Plus they're hauling freight when there's a shortage of regular freight because of the shutdowns. So that petition I'll get behind, because I think, well, it's not a petition, it was just a letter, you know, but they make big petitions when you want people to haul whatever. But it does prove an interesting point, in my opinion, because the drivers that are hauling exempt right now do have an unfair competitive advantage over the people that are not, because the freight is drying up. So where flatbed used to make more than drive-in, depending on your lane, there's no flatbed freight. And now you can technically get paid more and not have to worry about keeping hours or anything during your delivery because you're hauling exempt. That's an unfair competitive advantage. I thought it was an interesting approach at something. Is it going to do anything? Maybe not, but they're going to have to extend the FMCSA waiver that's currently out there. I think that expires on the 12th, right? The 12th of April. And this thing isn't going to be done by any means by that time, according to El Trumpo, our presidential. John Grasso said, Minnesota DOT is hammering away as usual. Yeah. All right. What's going on here? Thomas Joseph on Facebook said, we're entering a tough time in April. Starting in April, do you see a cliff coming for freight in general, since the consumer is staying at home, not spending money? Yeah, you need to watch the beginning of the show because I talked about that. Yeah, I think there's, I don't even think the cliff is coming. I think it's here. I think we're at the very top right now. And then by the end of the week, we're all going to be going, holy shit. That's my opinion. You know, it's, I could see it from the freight that I'm moving as well, because some freight's moving and some freight's not. So it's interesting, but I think we're here, you know, and when you have customers that are calling their financing and canceling, or just basically saying, hey, we know our invoice isn't due for quite a while, but we're going to be late paying you because no one's buying our shit. That's a problem. It's going to have a lasting effect on the transportation industry. I think it will pick up eventually, but it's going to be interesting. Sean Smith said, Wayne Campbell, PPE wasn't replaced from last virus, in any event, good portion of it is imported. Okay, I think I may have missed Wayne's other comment. There's a lot of comments here, so I probably missed them, but yeah, a lot of PPE is imported. So who knows? But you know what I know is I still have my go bag from when I was a full-time firefighter EMT. I have my go bag in my trunk. So I've got gloves. I've got masks. I think I've got masks. I've got, you know, bag valve, you know, breathe. I've got everything. I've even got neck braces in there. I've got everything that you could possibly need in a time of medical emergency. So who knows what it's going to be like. Frankly, I don't know. And it just, the only thing I could say is it doesn't look good. And I try to be as optimistic as I can. You guys know that. Actually, I really get pissed off when people are negative about shit all the time. And you guys know that. And there's no way to say it otherwise. Like, shit is getting real. It's real, you know? Here's how real it is. I had to go to Dick's Sporting Goods. I had to order gym equipment online because I can't make it till May 8th without working out and just doing push-ups. So I went and bought weights and all that crap. But I had to order it online, pay for it online, pull in front of Dick's Sporting Goods. They come out wearing full, like, you know, PPE body suits and all that stuff. And they come in and they're like,
What's your order number? I give them the order number, and then they're like, okay, open your trunk. We're going to put it in there.
And they did. They opened my trunk. They put the stuff in there, and then I drove away going, what? It's just like everyone else says. I'm like, it's a freaking flu. Like, who cares? But people are freaking out. You know, at AutoZone, like I said, I went to buy soap to wash my cars because they shut down the car washes. They're automatic car washes. They don't even take people, but they shut them down. So I went to AutoZone, and you go up, you put your stuff on the counter. The lady walks away. You put your stuff on the counter. You walk back 6 foot. She comes up. She rings it up. She tells you the total. She walks away. Then you come up to pay. The whole time, I'm like, you guys are freaking idiots. Like, it doesn't matter because I'm touching the damn machine, you know, the credit card machine. She's touching the stuff that I hold, you know, so I've already touched this. She picks it up to scan it. And I'm like, do you realize how stupid that is? Doesn't make any damn sense. But then again, everyone has their own idea of the social distancing. And my wife said I was mean because I told her that that was stupid. But whatever. Matthew Kane said maybe something different could be looked at. I don't know what you mean. Call in, Matt Kane. Free advertising right now, buddy. 914-803-4008. Ben on YouTube said, my dad crossed the Texas-Louisiana border and they have signs posted that LA drivers are not allowed in Texas. Yeah, it's not true because they're not turning you away from what I understand. They're putting you in a mandatory 14-day quarantine, which essentially means you're not allowed there. But I haven't heard of them turning anyone away. And it doesn't apply to commercial trade anyway. So no matter what, guys, here's a big thing that you guys got to remember, whether you're freight brokers, whether you're, transportation software providers like Matt with Rightload, or you're a driver, you guys are considered essential. Even if you're traveling even if you're hauling non-essential goods, the FMCSA has already proved that, or the state levels have already said, you know, the critical infrastructure workforce, blah, blah, blah. There's an article on my website. You could find it. It classifies transportation providers as essential workers. So it's interesting. Here's another caller. What's up? You're on the air.
Hey, it's Matthew Kane.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
How are you today, Steve?
I'm wonderful. I'm on fire. What's going on?
Well, that would indicate that you're having a fever, man. Maybe you should check.
No, it's because I'm in this new little room and it's hot as hell in here. But that's why. But it's quiet, though.
No, I guess my comment was probably a little more cryptic. I apologize. I was eating a bowl of soup and trying to type it at the same time. But no, I was just saying that, you know, I think that there's going to be an emergence of a lot of different things. Business is not going to be conducted after this is all done. People are going to look at different ways and different options so that if something like this does happen again, people are going to go into preventative modes, if you will, to try to help them through the next bout of nonsense and stupidity.
Right. Yeah. I mean, who knows? Yeah. I don't even want to think about this ever happening. I'm 35 years old and I've never experienced anything like this in my life. So, and I don't really want to, again, it's just stupid. You know, what are you guys doing? So for anyone who doesn't know, any listener who doesn't know, Matt Kane is the creator of rightload.com, which is I call it the anti-broker load board, but that's not really what it is. But why don't you give a little shout out at what you guys are doing there at Rightload to deal with shippers and carriers in these tough times?
You know what? We're not doing... I mean, look, I would love to be fat-headed and sit and talk some schmack and given the opportunity. But to be perfectly honest, you know, we're struggling through these times just like everybody else. You know, right. I mean, you know, we had a really great shipper that signed up about 3 weeks ago, a little more than 3 weeks ago, I guess, out of the Atlanta, Georgia area for a dry van. You know, paying some really decent rates, $240, $260 a mile kind of a thing. Yeah. They signed up with us We worked on getting them on board. Took about 3 weeks, 4 weeks to go through the whole process. Got them on board. They posted their first day. The very next day, they called us up. The director of transportation called us up. Three of their employees were diagnosed with the coronavirus. They shut the place down.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, unfortunately, it happens. It's the same thing with brokers. Shippers are being forced to close, and carriers are seeing that. Like I said, there's a steel mill in Pennsylvania that was a big steel shipper that they've closed down indefinitely. And it's not necessarily because employees have tested positive. It's purely because employees are worried. Every single time someone coughs, everyone freaks out now. That's when I go into the store, I deliberately cough. But
yeah, well, I mean, you know, listen, as you know, our platform is a remote platform, you know, by nature.
Right.
So, you know, right load is not a something where, at least at this stage where we are currently right now, you know, we don't have the, you know, the 300, 400 people in an office building yet.
Right.
So, you know, at the size of where we are right now, we're actually really well positioned. And for shippers, it's literally, it's the perfect platform because it allows you to not miss a beat and have full connectivity with every truckload and understand exactly what's going on in real time and not have to be at your office. You can literally run our platform for whatever company and whatever commodity you're moving. You can literally run this platform from your home or right. from the beach. It doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good thing about, like, you know, transportation service providers and all that. The only bad thing is if the shippers aren't manufacturing a product, they have nothing to ship. And that's kind of where we're getting now as volumes are decreasing. I mean, we saw it in load to truck volumes with that in the article I'm going to put out later this afternoon. What have you seen in terms of shipping volume? Have you seen a decrease or an increase in loads as maybe shippers are starting to get savvy and realize that they need some sort of software in place to help them book stuff?
Well, I mean, look, prior to all of this whole Corona thing happening, you know, we were starting to get into a pretty good stride.
Right.
And, you know, more and more shippers were understanding, you know, what we bring to the table. I mean, what the benefits are. So, and, you know, I have to admit, and reluctantly I do admit, when I first started this, I was a baseball bat carrying guy, you know, cracking away at the brokers.
Right.
And the reality is that, you know, there are some good brokers out there. There's some people that just don't, you know, aren't really crushing. But the other side of the coin is the reality also is that there are a lot of people that just really take advantage of the drivers.
Right.
And that's kind of what we built Right Load was a different option.
Right.
You know, and it's a really good option for shippers because it gives them an opportunity to understand exactly who is hauling their freight and what's happening with it in real time. And
right.
and that's kind of, you know, there's a lot more to it than that, as you're aware, Steve. But, you know, we kind of built something that's never really come to fruition in the marketplace. I know I've heard that many other people and companies have tried to put this together. Right. I guess it's because it's hard, and I will be the very first one to attest to that. It's not an easy task. So it's a matter of having resilience and patience and the wherewithal and the desire and the push to just keep going. And after 7 years, I think we've pretty much exhibited that.
Oh, no, you guys will be around for the count, like I said. You know, I've talked, in full disclosure, I've talked to Matt a bunch. I like his product, even though it's anti-broker and, like you said, the baseball bat to the broker, whatever he said before, but I think he's coming around. But Matt, how can people get in contact with Right Load?
Real simple. It's rightload.com, R-I-T-E. That's not R-I-G-H-T. It's R-I-T-E-L-O-A-D.com. You can go in as a carrier. It doesn't cost anything to sign up. It's completely free to join. There are no monthly fees with our service. How we make money, we charge a flat fee of $27 for making the connection with the carriers directly with the shippers. The loads that you go on, that you see the loads posted on the board, those loads were posted directly by the shipper on our system.
Right.
So we don't have we have nothing to do with the whole process other than the fact that we built the platform that allows that connection to happen much more efficiently, much more cost effectively, et cetera, et cetera. So rightload.com is the easy way. And again, you never pay us a penny unless our program, you are able to contract a load through our program. And that flat fee is a whopping $27. That's it. There's no other hidden fees. There's nothing else. It's $27 when you contract a load directly with one of the shippers on the platform.
Well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for giving your insight into what's going on, buddy.
Nah, thank you. I appreciate it. I hope everybody stays safe and healthy out there.
All right.
And you as well, Steve. To you and the...
Well, I hung up on him. My bad. All right. So, yeah, like I said, that's Matt Cain. Anyone who doesn't know about Rightload, it's a pretty cool software, and I didn't mean for it to turn into a big advertisement like that. That was not my intention at all. I've got sponsors for that. But one of the thing that's kind of cool about it is, you know, he has this big office in Pennsylvania. When I wrote the article last week or the week before about Pennsylvania shutting down all their rest stops, temporarily they've reopened them after everyone started saying, hey, you guys effed up. You open your rest stops. Drivers need a place to sleep. He actually put a couple of porta potties on his property, on his new office property, and said drivers could park there for free, you know, just, you know, if they need a safe place. And he's had a couple of drivers use it. So he's a good dude. I like him. Mr. Lampshade, you can, I don't know. That's questions for him. You could ask him later. But I believe it's, they do all that. They qualify everyone just like a broker would, except they're not a broker because they don't handle the actual shipments. But at any rate, I didn't want that to turn into an advertisement because it's not. Anyway, so here's one of the interesting things. I saw it a minute ago and I think I lost it. Dan Carl on Facebook said, first time listener, great stuff. No problem, man. That's why I do it. So one of the other cool things, as you guys can see up here, I'm sponsored by Trucker Tools. That lasts until today, and I may just give it for the rest of the month. They've sponsored my show. They also advertise with me on the website, and they do a bunch of stuff. Why? Because I also really, really like the program and the app that they have. They have a new app coming out that they're slow releasing that has a bunch of functionality. But here's one of the interesting things. I published a partner post yesterday. Find it on my website if you want. It's a good article. But it talks about utilizing, especially in a time right now where half the shit is not open. You know, restaurants don't have sit-down restaurants. Some truck stops aren't, you know, their bathrooms don't function, whatever the case may be. Or that you go, the bathrooms are functioning, but they're nasty as shit. And you don't want to use them because they're gross. And people, yeah, they say, hey, we'll leave our bathrooms open, but they're too afraid to clean it because of the coronavirus. So they just leave it dirty. We've heard all that too, but the interesting thing about Trucker Tools and what everyone needs to remember is in their app, you can search for the truck stops and all that stuff, but then you can add amenities to those. So you can leave a review and say, hey, went to this place, the restroom was nasty, or went to this place and then the restroom was awesome. Cause I read some review of one place the other day where it's like, this shower was like a Ritz-Carlton shower. It had a waterfall and all this stuff. The guy was way into the shower at a truck stop. But you can leave reviews, and that's one thing I've been trying to plug out, and I said you guys could do it last week for all these places that are not serving, or McDonald's, or, you know, a truck stop, and they're not letting you walk in, which I think that in terms of rest stops or in terms of truck stops, they're not opening drive through to commercial trucks if you can't get your truck through there. But I think they've all made accommodations. If anyone knows of one that isn't, that's attached to a truck stop, then let me know. I know a lot of people have, the last time I did that last week, a lot of people said, they sent me like McDonald's in this place at this street. And I look up the addresses and they're not made for trucks. So you can't really blame them if McDonald's policy is not to allow people to walk up to their door. You can't really get pissed off if they're not going to do it. If they're not going to allow people to walk up to the window last week. Now there's been so much publicity on it that I think even McDonald's, they now have, you can order through the app and park in the parking lot next door and they'll bring it out to you, whatever the case may be. Call them and say, hey, listen, I'm ordering on the app. I'm going to be in the parking lot across the way. You know, I'll meet you 5 feet away and you could drop it on the floor and I'll pick it up, whatever the case may be. There's a lot of, the app is very good for that kind of stuff. So you should, you should use that. Mr. Lampshade said, fair enough about my answer. Robert said, as long as you're training, I'm riding shotgun. Yeah. David Quacklebaum on Facebook said rates are crap. Yeah, it's not good. It's only going to get worse, I think. So I don't really know. I don't want to be negative all the time, and I know a lot of people hate it when I'm negative all the time. And I try to be positive about the majority of stuff. But damn, what is going to happen? What is the next week going to look like in terms of freight? That's what I'm curious about. Are we going to see load to truck values go further down? Are they going to decrease more? Because our load to truck values from 2019, which February 2019 it was starting to get bad. It wasn't even quite that bad yet. I still had trucks, so it's not like I'm just some broker saying that. I still had trucks, but the van loads are down 8% this year than what they were last year at this time. Flatbed loads are, which is crazy because flatbed loads are still higher, 6.2% higher than what they were in 2019. And reefer the same, but reefer took a massive hit this week at down 36% in reefer load to truck volumes, which we talked about already in the show. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in terms of freight rates or anything. The only thing I could say is, guys, save your money. Fill out the forms for the SBA loans. Be as safe as you can out there on the road. Pay attention. Work with the brokers. Keep check marks and the people that help you right now. Because this is a thing that ticks me off too, is everyone is so quick to show appreciation for truckers right now. How come they're not doing it all the time? Like, how come they're not just every single day just being like, hey, you know, like brokers all the time are sending out emails. Don't forget to show your driver we appreciate you. But you're only showing appreciation now in a time of dire need. Nobody's showing appreciation all the time. Like I had the quote last week where the driver was like, oh, you know, people are waving to trucks from above the bridges and all that stuff, which is great, but they need to do it more. You know, the horn honking thing? That, you know, where you drive by and you sit there and the kids would do this and you honk the horn. You know how many times my son or we would be out walking around, we'd see someone and we'd do that and they wouldn't honk. Every single time I'm like, I'm going to chase that dude down. Because that's like the universal hello. That's truckers. Trucks are good. So do it. But don't do it in New York City, because I used to do it in New York City and I'd be like, hey, every time someone's on their phone go, no, no, no. And I think they're telling me to do it and I'd honk the horn and get people pissed off at me. But I don't even know where I'm going with that. You could tell I'm tired of talking. Here's the fact. Drivers, I appreciate you. And I appreciate you all the time. I don't just appreciate you now because you're doing your job and you're doing a job in a time of need. You're doing your job. And I appreciate you guys all the time. Like I always say, I wouldn't be a broker if I wasn't a carrier first. And I wouldn't be a carrier if I wasn't a driver first. That's how I got started. And that's why I feel like every single broker out there should be, should spend time in the seat first. It literally changes the way you think about stuff. And a lot of the decisions I make now in terms of my brokerage decisions are heavily based on my time as a carrier and my time even making these shows and talking to people. So the only thing I can remember, and I know no other non-transportation related people watch my show, don't stop saying, like, thanking a trucker. Don't stop doing that, you know, because truckers always need it. You know, because they're always doing it. Think about it. Every single thing in my house has been sitting on a truck at some point. And it's, I don't know. And if you're a broker, don't thank a trucker, because brokers send out, you know, we got to remember to thank all truckers and here's loads for $1.20 a mile. I heard that on one show today. It cracked me up. Anyway, guys, stay safe, drive safe. 2:00 Eastern time every single day. My show is back at 2:00. Call in show. We've had a very big show today. Lots of callers. Keep it coming. It's good. If you're just listening and you want to listen to some of the old podcasts and all that, search Freight Broker Live on Google Play and iTunes and all that stuff, because I'm there with my big smiling face. For that, make sure you check out the new website. It has a whole new look to it. It's very cool and very awesome. And I spent a lot of time so that the haters wouldn't say my website looks like competition. Because again, I'm not competition with anybody. I'm original. But yeah, You can see it. It's all here. It's got all sorts of fresh news and media, and there's going to be so much more stuff to it. So, guys, take care. We'll see you later. Bye. Yeah, go ahead, Kevin.